desire that you would pray for us and with us. We get a title to this lesson. It would be, to this discourse, it would be, Can These Bones Live? And we're going to go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we want to start reading at the first verse. I'd like for you to read for us, please. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Yes.
And carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord.
And set me down
in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by round about.
And behold,
there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?
O Lord God, thou knowest.
Now, first of all, this is the prophet that's talking here. He sees the Lord picks him up and takes him to a valley full of bones. Not just bones, but dry bones. Very dry bones. Not just dry bones, but very dry bones. And the Lord caused him to pass round about. In my mind's eye, what I see is he sees that he's out in a desert place, and he sees all these bones that are scattered all over the place, and the Lord sets him there, and he sees, you know how bones are, it seems like they kind of split as they dry and whatnot, and they turn this gray color and whatnot, and he's looking, and the Lord wants him, I want you to pass around about it. I want you to get a good look at what I'm showing you here. I want you to go walk all the way around these bones, not just look at one or two of them, but I want you to give a close examination of these bones. And the prophet did that. Ezekiel walked around and he looked at him, and the Lord asked him a question. And the question that the Lord asked him was, can these bones live? Can they live? And in my mind, I see Ezekiel being an intelligent man, going by his intellect, and he's looking at the bones and he's saying, in my mind, I don't believe that they can. I have never seen anything like this take place before, but I have an understanding of who God is. But yet I believe that God can do this. Now this is just me. Allow me to have my imagination here, and I don't think it takes away from the scripture here. So he says here, I don't know. I know who God is, and I know how great God is, but there is something about it that my faith can't take in that these bones can live. And so intellectually, I don't see how it can happen. And intellectually, scientifically, it's impossible. But when I deal with it from the spiritual aspect, I know it can happen, but I'm not so certain that my faith can take that in. And so what he says, rather than giving a yes or no answer, he says, Lord, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to allow you, you know what the situation is. And so the Lord says, I want you to do something. And again, he says unto me, where do we stop off? Fourth verse? All right. Again he saith unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the word of the Lord, read.
Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones.
Yes.
Behold,
I will cause breath to enter into you,
and ye shall live.
And ye shall live.
I will lay sinews upon you.
I will lay sinew upon you.
Will bring up flesh upon you.
And will bring up flesh upon you.
Cover you with skin.
And cover you with skin.
Put breath in you.
And put breath in you.
And ye shall live.
And ye shall live.
And ye shall know.
And ye shall know
that
I am the Lord. Now, the Lord gives him another point. He says here, what I want you to do, Ezekiel, what I want you to do is I want you to prophesy. I want you to begin to speak to these bones. Now, he told him what to say before Ezekiel said it. And I believe that this is an important thing because we as ministers of God, we as people of God, not just ministers of God, our responsibility is when the Lord gives us something, our responsibility is to believe what the Lord gives us. We have to believe it for ourselves first. Now, let's take into consideration this situation. What is bones? Bones are the structure of the body. It is the form. It is what gives us form. It is the foundation of our bodies. So it's probably, if you look at it in one sense, it's the most important part of our body in one sense. And so when we take into consideration a form or a structure, and we realize that this structure and this form that they're talking about is dead, but it's there. And we're in a time in which folks are saying, and I understand, and I want us to get a hold of this, because the Lord began to deal with me, there are some things, is there a form among the church and the foundations that was laid by the apostles and whatnot, there's a form here. There's a structure there. But yet there are things and there are those that are saying that it cannot live. I want to say, I believe today that the bones can live. I believe that there is something that God wants us to get a hold of tonight, that whatever is dead, maybe it's something that seems like it's completely dead in your life. Maybe the structure in your marriage has fallen apart. Maybe your life has fallen apart. Maybe whatever the situations in your home and your life altogether has fallen apart. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you, maybe you don't see how this thing can come back together. Maybe you just don't understand. It's impossible for it to come back together. But I want to tell you, if you obey and trust the Lord, the Lord can raise those bones up. Your responsibility is to trust and obey. So this prophet here, Ezekiel, sees and he understands from an intellectual standpoint that there is no way, absolutely no way for this to happen. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll do the things of God by our mind. We'll think about it and we'll understand it from an intellectual standpoint. God is not bound by our intellect. Our responsibility is to get to know the very essence of the Spirit of God. They sang a song here tonight. When you put everything up against God, everything is small. What we have to understand that we're dealing with a great big God that can do anything. And I believe what the Lord wants to do to the church today is revive our faith and our confidence in Him. I believe the enemy is stealing it from us. I believe that there is a place that we are in this generation, our generation of individuals here. What we do, we go to college. We learn all the ins and outs and we learn how to think. We learn about philosophy. We learn about psychology. And then we try to apply those things in the spirit world. It doesn't work that way. What the Lord wants from you and I is He wants us to be spiritual beings. That's what we are. Church, we are not psychologists. We are not philosophers. We have the Spirit of God. God can do anything. And I believe what He wants us to do is to understand that the church must rise up and stop trying to be intellectual and go straight to the point and say, Lord, give me an understanding from the spiritual aspect. Give me discernment. Let me tell you something. The church needs discernment today. We need to be able to discern when somebody comes to us and they say something, whatever they say, from what spirit they're coming from. Oh, they don't want you to do it, but let me tell you, this is what the church is all about today. May the Lord help us. Can these bones live? Are we in a place? Are we in a position? Are we in a place that these bones, the structure, can it live? I believe if we can trust the Lord and we can obey and we can just stop looking, may the Lord help. My desire is not to step on anybody's toes. You know what my desire is? My desire is to give us hope. I'm convinced that God can do something extraordinary. I'm convinced that God can do something extraordinary in your congregation. Does it seem like your congregation is just full of dead men's bones? Doesn't seem like, well, when the singing come once again, we come and everybody, I watch our faces sometime as we sing these songs. Can you sing happy in the Lord with a frown on your face? I believe that God intends for us to have a little bit more joy, the brother said, a little bit more emotion in it. There's something, as this brother is saying, there's something about the witness of the Holy Ghost. When the Lord deals with our hearts, you just can't sing it with a frown on your face or with no expression. May the Lord help us. Can these bones live? Let's go to your congregation. And let's look at it. And let's, well, oh, it's just full of old people. Your congregation full of old folks? And it just seems like we're not making any kind of progress. Sometimes we feel like that, and sometimes we really aren't. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we're not making the progress that God wants us to make, but let me tell you, the bones can live. There is something there to work with. It looks dead, it looks dry, it looks very dead, but let me tell you, there is something to work with. Now who's the responsibility for? Whose responsibility is it? Oh, is it the pastor's responsibility? I believe that we as pastors have a responsibility, absolutely. But let me tell you where revival comes from. Revival comes from me. It comes from you. It starts there. It's a ripple effect. In the middle of that ripple, what's there? You are. Here's the ripple right here. You want revival in your congregation? Let it start with you. And then right here, Lord, change me. Change how I see this. Help me to believe. Intellectually, I don't see how I can get these old folks up and get them to doing something that they ought to be doing. Maybe that's not what the Lord wants you to do. Maybe the Lord wants you to go out and establish, begin to talk to folks and begin to do things that would witness to other people. Pray for me. witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what does it say? Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Who's he talking to? Preachers? The ministers? Those that get behind the pulpit? No, every one of us has a message of good news to those that we're around. There is somebody on your job, somebody in your neighborhood, that if your preacher came and talked to him, it would turn him away. But if you talked to him, it wouldn't. If you preached to him, it wouldn't. May the Lord help us. So the ripple, it starts right here with you. Y-O-U. Don't take. And then it starts out there and you deal with those that are around you. And from that it goes out. You have to believe. Don't blame it on me anymore. I'm willing to take what is due me. As a minister, I am willing to take the responsibility of what's due me, but I will not bear yours. Now, let me tell you something. I have not always understood that. Generally, in my mind, I thought it is the leader's responsibility. It is the pastor's responsibility to lead the congregation. I still believe that's true. But if the pastor does not lead in the way that God wants him to, for whatever reason, maybe they don't understand, maybe you see something that you feel needs to happen, then it's your responsibility to take and do what God is telling you to do, not independent of the pastor. I'm not teaching rebellion, but I am saying that sometimes we justify our places of inactivity because nobody else is doing it. That's beside the point. These bones can still live if I do my part. So let me tell you, the preaching is not just to the preachers. All of us are preachers. All of us have a responsibility to the gospel, to do what we know is right, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I can't go on your job and begin to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, but you can. I can't win the folks that you come in contact that are within your little ripple and your circle. We may overlap sometime. This may be me over here, and I may overlap with you, and the ripple start, and we know some of the same folks and whatnot, all that. But ultimately, there's a part that I can't reach over here. That's your job. And so what our responsibility as ministers of the gospel is to equip you with what you need to be able to minister on this side where I don't touch. May the Lord help us. All right. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and ye shall bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so you know what he did? He obeyed. First of all, he believed, and I'm going to watch and see what God is going to do. You know, have you ever been in those kinds of places? I'm going to watch and see if he can do anything. Lord, if you can do anything, I want to watch you change some things, some circumstances in my life. Whatever it may be, and if we truly trust the Lord, let me tell you what will happen. The Lord will change the circumstances in your life. Let me tell you, you may think in your mind, I have nothing to work with but a bunch of dead bones. But let me tell you, God can do something to the dead bones, but he's not going to do it by himself. One of the things that was required of Ezekiel, one of the things that was required was for him to believe what God told him first. So the Lord prophesied unto him, gave him an understanding of what God wanted to do with his life and with these dead bones, so to speak. The Lord told him what he wanted to do, but Lord told him what he wanted to do with Ezekiel's life. I want you to prophesy. So what did he do? I prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, as I obeyed, as I did what God showed me to do, as I didn't blame somebody else for my conditions and my situations and the bones that I see here, maybe it wasn't my fault altogether that the bones was here, but it's going to be my fault if I don't preach and I don't speak and I don't obey the Lord in the midst of them. It'll be my fault then. All right, so I prophesied. And as I obeyed, behold, a shaking. Read for me, please. A shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld,
When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them.
Yes.
And the skin covered them above.
Skin covered them above.
But there was no breath.
But there was no breath in them.
Then said he unto me,
then said
prophesy
he unto them.
Unto the wind.
Now can you imagine when you see all of this? You're doing just what the Lord tells you to do and you see some results. And I believe that the Lord wants to bring us to a place that he says, yes, there are going to be times there are going to be times that you don't see results just right away, but you do what I tell you to do anyway. And then there are going to be some times that you're going to see immediate results because I'm telling you to do it right now. And there's something that changes every time you and I obey the Lord. Something changes. Whether you see it or not, there was a noise, there was a shaking, and the bones started moving. Can you imagine seeing this? That the bones started moving, bone to his bone. All right? And then, read.
Prophesy unto the wind.
Prophesy unto the wind. The flesh came up, we had the bones, we had the sinew, all the joints were held in place, and you saw, all you saw was a dead body here now. Something that took form, not just dry bones, but something that had flesh and apparently blood in it or whatever you want to say. Now I've got to prophesy to the wind because there's no breath here. All right, read.
Prophesy, son of man.
Yes.
And say to the wind.
Say to the wind.
Thus saith the Lord
God. Thus saith the Lord. Not what I think.
Come from the four winds.
Come from the four winds.
O breath and breathe upon
these
slain. O
breath and breathe into them.
That they may live.
That they may live.
So I prophesied.
So I prophesied as I was commanded me.
And the breath came into them.
And the breath came into them.
And they lived.
And they lived.
And stood up upon
and
their feet.
And stood up upon their feet.
An exceeding
great army. Isn't that wonderful? What did he say? Then he said unto me,
Son of man,
these bones are the whole house of Israel.
Behold, they say,
our bones are dried.
Our hope is lost. We are cut off
for our parts.
Therefore prophesy and say unto them,
Thus saith the Lord God,
Behold, O my people,
I will open your graves.
I'll cause you to come up out of your graves
and bring you into the land of Israel. This is what the Lord wants to do. I believe that this is what the Lord wants to do to the church today. I believe that the Lord's desire is to say, where there are dead places, where it seems like there's just no hope, this is what we're saying. Haven't you heard it? Haven't you heard the whispers that there is no hope? Our hope is lost. It seems like our congregations are drying up, and it seems like there is no hope. But let me tell you something. I believe the devil is fighting us harder, and I've come across some hard places in my own experience, in my own congregation, from time to time. But let me tell you, I believe that there's life there. I believe that as I obey the Lord and as I do what the Lord is telling me to do, maybe there are some bones in your place. Maybe there are some bones in your congregation. Maybe there are some bones right here. But let me tell you, I believe that if we, as the ministry of God, would preach to these, prophesy as the Lord gives utterance, not on what I see with my natural eye, because what I see with my natural eye would discourage me. Sometimes I get discouraged when I see it. It seems like the more you preach, the more you give and you give out, it seems like sometimes the less profit it is. But I don't look at it from a natural, intellectual standpoint. What I look at it from is the fact that I've got to trust God and I've got to do what He tells me to do. Do I believe that these bones can live? Yes. Do I believe that the bones that are very dry in the situations in your life, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's on the job, in your neighborhood, in our nation, let me tell you something, we're moving fast toward a nation that doesn't believe in the Lord anymore. We heard a little bit about that the other night, didn't we? May the Lord help us. Who is going to stand and be the salt of the earth? That's your responsibility. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. Sometimes we know where God wants us to be. Stand up and be seen. Stand up for the Lord. Be what God wants you to be. I want to encourage you that way, because I believe if we can encourage you that way, what happens over in your little neck of the woods where you are, where it seems like the bones are dried and dead, what they begin to do is they begin to connect with the little bones over in my area. And then they could connect with some bones over here. And then before you know it, there's an exceeding great army that can stand up and fight against the things that are coming our way. That fight against the things that are coming against the church. What is the bones? The bones are a foundation. And let me tell you, he didn't redo the foundation. And when you relate that over into the building of the church, what does he say? It is the foundation upon this rock. I build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bone to bone, found brick to brick, foundation to foundation, when we stand on what God has given us, on the revelation and the understanding of what God, who God is. What did he say to Peter? He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And what did he say? Some say you're Elias, some say you're another prophet, but he said, who do you say that I am? He said, I say that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not told you this, but has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something, saints of God. We need a revelation of what the church is. We need a revelation, because what we see around sometimes are in ruin and whatnot. But when I can see him with my spiritual eyes, not just with my intellectual eyes and my physical eyes, but when I can see what the church really is, I can believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And my desire, my determination is to be part of that church. And let me tell you, this is the foundation. It wasn't just on the rock, but it was on a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. When you have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you're not going to be easily shaken. When people come against you, and when they begin to press hard against you, you're not going to be shaken, because you have a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You know him for yourself. This is what this is talking about. This is what it's saying here. Maybe all intellectually you say, well, Brother Darrell, this and that, and I see all these problems and all these ruins in the church. Let me tell you what Jesus, what God does. He raises something up out of the ruins. Amen. Lord, help us. So when we look at this, when we look at this situation, what do we see? We don't just see a revival. We see a resurrection. That's really what it is. It's not revived, because there's nothing to revive. We see resurrection. Let me tell you something about a resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, which is a type... His body is a type of the church. So what is in the life of the church? Resurrection life. Life that is breathed into it. Where you can walk through walls. Where you can just appear. Where you can do things that the natural body cannot do. That's resurrected life. So when people say that you cannot live a holy life, is because they have not experienced a death yet. Brother Darrell, that's just something that you're saying. No, it's true. It's true. There has to be a death that happens when I am nailed up on the cross and I die. What did the brother say? It is not I that live, but what? Christ that lives in me. No, I can't live a holy life. No matter how hard I try, I can't do it, but Christ can. As I submit myself to him, as I allow him to work through me, as I say, Lord, no, I realize that this is a dead place that I've been in, but Lord, when you resurrect me and you give me life, there's something more than just natural life. It's resurrected life. Now I can walk in the midst. Am I tempted? Yes. Let's be real. Am I tempted? Was Christ tempted in all points, like as I am, like you are, but yet without sin? Why would he tell me that if I can't do it? That's cruel. For you to require me to live a perfect life and you don't give me the tools or equip me, as the brother said, to be able to live that life. May the Lord help us. That would be something that is not a loving God that would do that. That is somebody that is cruel that would require me to do something that he knows I cannot do. But what did he do? He said, I'm not even required of you. What I require you to do is to be willing to die. And when you're willing to die and become nothing, then I'm willing to live, rise up and live through you. I can live this life through you. Let me tell you, what has happened is too many of us have depended upon the preachers. We almost act as though we're Catholic. Well, you go in and you come down to an altar prayer, and what do? Make a confession, and you get up and go on about your way. And you feel a little better because it's confessed. But you have to not only confess, you've got to forsake. I'm not going to do it anymore. We don't want to have somebody, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. We don't live like that, do we? There's something better, isn't it? There's resurrected life. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get dependent upon our pastors. And let me tell you, y'all kill us. I'm just telling you like it is. It's true. You see, my hair is gray. You see, now I'm telling you the truth. Look at how quickly they die. We die. Look at what ages we don't get to be 70 and 80 and 90 years old. Let me tell you why. Because you have killed us. I hate to say it, but I'm serious when I say it. I love y'all. And I'd give my life for you. That's what we do. That's what we are. But let me tell you, what I want to say is there's something better. There's something better. You can know the Lord personally just like me. I should not be any more spiritual than you. Make me run after you. Encourage me to be just as spiritual as you are. That's what I want. You can be deeper than me. Oh, Sister So-and-so is going, I'm going to have to get on my knees because I'm not going to let her outrun me. May the Lord help us. I believe the Lord wants us to get to a place that we can be a help to those that are around us, a help to those that minister to us. Do you know what? Sometimes I heard somebody say it, and I believe it with all of my heart. When you preach, when you stand up here behind the podium and you're preaching the gospel, do you realize that when you sit down, sometimes it feels like you have worked 8 hours? You know why? Because, and you know how the scripture speaks about the sword of his mouth, where you're fighting the enemy even right now. You're fighting the enemy. You're fighting what the thoughts that the devil has put in some folks' mind. You're fighting resistance. I know I am even now. Brother Darrell, you're just kind of a little skewed to this side. Maybe I am. But let me tell you something. You pray for me that I get set just like I'm doing the best that I can, because I believe the Lord has shown me. He's given me a revelation of what the church is. He's given me a revelation of what Jesus Christ is. I want to say that. He's given me a revelation of who he is. And so somebody's not going to be able to come and just knock me off my foundation very, very easily. Because why? Is it because this is what the church taught? Is it because this is what I was raised in? Is it because I believe it because I'm so loyal to the saints? No, it's because I have a personal witness in my heart of who Jesus Christ is. I know for myself. Doesn't matter what everybody else said. Let everybody go. I don't believe you're going to do that. I trust that you won't. But let me tell you, if you do, I'm going to stay right here. Because I believe what the Lord has shown me. I believe the revelation that the Lord has given me. And let me tell you, I want to say this. I want to say what our responsibility is not just to embrace what the saints do and what the saints don't. Our responsibility is to embrace Christ, who Christ is. Let me tell you the difference in that. This is what we're talking about, this resurrected life. When you embrace and know through a revelation of who Christ is, then you know what the do's and don'ts mean. The Lord speaks to you himself. Nobody has to come up to you and talk to you about it. The Lord tells you. And what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to say, Lord, I'm married to you, so no, now I'm not. You know, if a man is married to a woman's married to a man, what do? They don't look at anybody else, do they? They make that partner happy. And if you don't like that red dress that she's wearing, you tell her not to wear it anymore. And you know what? She doesn't wear it anymore. Because she wants to please you. And if some man down the street says, I like it when you have that dress on, what does she do? She takes it off because she doesn't want to be attracted, want to attract any attention to any other man but the one that she loves. Is that fair? So it teaches you, as a husband, as a man, you learn as a couple, you learn the do's and don'ts and the likes and dislikes of the other party, and you begin to make the adjustments. I don't like those shoes, honey. I don't like it when you wear those clothes. That's a little bit too much, or that's not quite enough. Whatever it may be, those restrictions are in that relationship, isn't it? And it is nobody else's business, is it? It's nobody else's business what a man tells his wife and what she tells him, right? And it's the same way with the church, who is the bride of Christ. Once you know him and you get to sit down and talk to him and you fall in love with him all over again and you let him know, he begins to talk to you and he begins to tell you, I don't like it when you wear that dress. I want you to do something a little bit different. Because I love you, and you know what? You're attracting attention this way. This man, did you notice how that man looked at you when you had that on? Stop me if I'm sorry. if I stop telling the truth. And so what you do, you come to a place of realizing and understanding, I'm doing this for the one that I love because I know him. I know what he requires and what he desires of me. And it has, now it takes the church out of it, doesn't it? It takes the do's and don'ts of the church completely out of it. Because you have gotten so close to the Lord that the Lord is able to talk to you individually. Just like he does me. Do you know the Lord talks to me? The Lord sits down and talks to me. Do you know we have a good relationship? All right, let's go a little further here. John 11, verse 38. Read it for us, please. Do you? Yes? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. Coming to the grave.
It was a cave.
It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it.
Jesus said,
Take ye away the stone.
Martha, the sister of him that was dead,
saith unto him,
Lord,
by this time he stinketh,
for he has been dead
4 days.
Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God.
You know what I believe the Lord wants to do? To the church, I believe that somewhere, we have allowed the spirit of unbelief to enter in. And we've protected it. We've protected it behind our scientific explanations. We've protected it behind our personal justifications of why the Lord isn't answering anymore. But I believe that the Lord wants to resurrect in us belief. And so our responsibility is when we see that there is a stone, if you will, over our heart, that our heart has grown hard because we haven't seen the miracles that maybe that they said that there were in times past. And if we're not careful, you know what we'll do? We know over a period of time we'll lose our zeal, we'll lose our desire, we'll lose all our motivation, and we'll begin to look back on the good old days when old Mother Catherine and Brother Austin was here. But who's the Mother Catherine's and Brother Austin's of today? You know, I believe what God wants to do is he wants to say, take away the stone, saints. Your heart has grown hard somewhere. Let me tell you, when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. I'm preaching to me and I'm saying, Lord, where has my heart grown hard? Where have I begun to intellectualize spiritual matters? And I see it from an intellectual standpoint more than I do from a spiritual standpoint. Lord, have mercy on me. Take away the stone, Lord. So we have to ask the Lord that. He said, and I say unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of the Lord. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with the napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. I believe that we can do that with some of these places where people are dead in the dead states of sin, where people are possessed with the spirit of the enemy. I believe that if we can believe again, that we can ask the Lord to resurrect our belief. We can ask the Lord to take away the stone from our heart and the hardness from our heart. I believe that the Lord can do something great with this people, with us. It doesn't have to be that we look back into the old days, that the better days are behind us. No, I don't believe that. I believe the better days are before us, but it's going to take us trusting and obeying the Lord. It's going to take something from us to say that the better days are ahead. May the Lord help us. All right? Are you ready for it? All right, I want to go a little further here. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, 20th verse. Read 20 and 21.
13 and 20. And Elijah died.
Elijah died.
And they buried him.
They buried him.
And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land.
Yes.
At the coming in of the year.
Yes.
And it
came to pass as they were burying a man.
Yes.
That behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down. And touched the bones
of Elisha.
He revived. And stood up.
On his feet. All right. So we said that the bones represent the structure and the foundation of the body. And what about Elisha? What was so special about Elisha? One of the things that was special about Elisha is that Elisha asked, when Elijah was getting ready to go up, he asked for a double portion of his spirit. And he had a double portion of his spirit. And perhaps, as we say, we look back nostalgically on those that came before us. Has anybody ever asked to have a double portion of one of the old-time saints' spirit? Have you ever asked that? Have you said, Lord, give me a double portion? Do you believe he's going to do it? Do you believe he's done it? There was something in what they did that was wonderful. I agree with that. But that was then. This is now. What are we doing now? I believe that what the Lord wants us to do is to revive our belief. May the Lord help us. I want us to turn to another point, John 6, 24. Let's read that. John 6, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there. Now these are the folks that had eaten the fishes and the loaves, and they'd come and they were looking for the Lord, and they couldn't find him. They searched for him. They saw that he wasn't there.
Neither his disciples. They also took shipping. And came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus.
They came looking for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Came looking for him.
And when they had found him on the other side of the sea.
Yes, on the other side of the sea. They said unto him, Rabbi.
When camest thou hither?
When did you come over here? We've been looking all over for you. When did you get over here?
Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you,
Ye seek me.
Not because you saw the miracles. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not.
Temporal. The physical. People follow the Lord for the physical benefits. There's some good physical benefits, aren't there? Fishes and the loaves. Read.
Labor not for meat. For the meat which perisheth.
Yes.
But for that meat.
Which endureth unto everlasting life.
Which the Son of Man shall give unto you.
For him hath God the Father sealed.
Then said they unto him. What shall we do?
That we might work the works of God. Isn't that wonderful that these folks want to do the work of God? What should we do that we should work the works of God? So they asked the Lord this, and what did the Lord say?
Jesus answered.
Did he say, "All right, I want you to go, and I want you to go and I want you to go to the soup kitchens, and I want you to go down and talk to the homeless, and I want you to pass out tracts, and I want you to do all the things that we do"? Is that what he said? No. What did he say?
This is the work of God. That ye believe.
On him
whom God has sent.
So let me tell you, the first line of responsibility that we have as people of God is to believe. That is the work of God. You know, I was praying one time and I was saying, Lord, I was making a level of consecration in my own life. And I said, Lord, I want to be and I want to do what you want me to do. And I'm just willing, consecrating to do anything that the Lord tells me to do. You know what he told me? He said, I want you to believe. And I believe that that is what he's telling his church tonight. I want you to believe again. I believe that we've gotten away from that. We just don't believe. There are some that I've heard, you know what? Nobody wants the truth anymore. I don't believe that. I believe they do. I believe every person in the world wants what we have. They want the peace of God in our soul. But if we have said in our mind, there's something that has taken place in our mind that they don't want it anymore, what is actually set up in us is a spirit of unbelief. And what we need to do, we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, don't say the saints don't have it. Lord, help us. Help us to be honest with ourselves. I've had to find it sometimes. I just don't see it. This is why Ezekiel said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest. I'm not going to say yes, and I'm not going to say it, but you know. So now what I want you to do, Lord, is I want you to deal with me. There is a place, maybe a little area of unbelief. Let me tell you, remember in Mark, I believe, the 9th chapter, when the man came to the disciples and his son was possessed with the spirit. And he was possessed with the Spirit, and he came to the disciples of the Lord, and he said, cast them out, and they couldn't do it. And what did it do? It affected that man. Let me tell you, our lacks affect people. But let me tell you, it doesn't negate the fact that we're still disciples. Just because they were not able to cast this spirit out did not negate the fact that they were still Christ's disciples. They were still the church. And let me tell you something, may the Lord help us. That is not a state that God intended for them to stay in, though. So what did He say? He said, this kind cometh not forth, but by prayer and fasting. You must believe. So what did He say? He said, Lord, I went to Your disciples, and they could not cast them out. And if, now they've got a question in their mind about the church, Jesus Christ, as being the church here. Now I've got a question in my mind, because Your people are so impotent, Lord, I'm not certain that You can do the things that You say that You can do. So He says, now, Lord, if Thou canst do anything, have mercy on me and help me. And so what did the Lord say? He said, don't place that blame on me. If you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. This is what the Lord said to the man. And what did the man say? In all honesty, he said, Lord, there's a part of me that believes. There's a part of me that understands intellectually that these bones can live. And then there's a part of me that says, I don't have the faith. I know You can do anything, but I don't have the faith to take it in. So what did He say? Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. I'm wavering back and forth. I'm not sure which way to go, Lord, but Thou knowest. And when he fell down on the Lord and said, Lord, help me to believe again. You know what the Lord did? The Lord delivered His son. And I believe that that's where we are, saints. I believe that where we are today is that the Lord wants to resurrect in His people a belief in Him. The work of God is not busy scurrying around doing all these things and making certain that this happens and making certain that that happens. The work of God is that ye believe. That you believe not in your own intellect. Let me tell you one of the maladies of our generation. One of the maladies of our generation is that we have been taught to believe in ourselves. We have been taught to believe that we can do anything, but we have not been taught to believe that God can do anything. And what God wants to say is, I want you to take this belief in yourself off of yourself, and I want you to put it in me. Believe on Him that sent me. This is what the Lord is saying. So what do we want? We want part of the reason that the bones are very dry is because we're not prophesying, because we really don't believe anymore. Not like God wants us to. Lord, help us. This is not an indictment on the saints. This is not an indictment. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching that the Lord wants me to believe more. And I'm preaching on saying that, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The places in my heart where I don't believe like I used to, or because of what the saints haven't done, maybe somebody prayed for someone and they died anyway, that affects me, doesn't it? Don't pretend that it doesn't. Or we prayed for something and it didn't seem like it got any better, and there's nobody with the gifts of healing and nobody with this and nobody with that anymore. So we look at the church as being impotent, and we look at Christ as being impotent as well. It doesn't make us not be the people of God. But it does affect how we see things. And it does affect how others see things. And so what our responsibility is not just me as the ministers. I'll take my responsibility. I'm at fault too. I'm not going to try to absolve myself, but I'm going to say it's not all my fault. It's not all those that preach to, because you know why? You have the same access to this that I do. You have the same access to the Word of God to study it out, to study to show yourself approved. Make certain that you're approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You have access to the Holy Ghost just like I do. You have access to get down as deep in God as I do, as you require me to do. And let me tell you, if every one of us were as spiritual as we demanded that those that minister to us are, this church, the level of spirituality in the congregation would rise. Let's not justify ourselves. Can these bones live? All right. A couple scriptures I want to read. Maybe we'll say it enough here. thus far. Zechariah 8, starting at verse 1. This is a promise that the Lord gave me.
Again?
Yes.
The word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying,
yes.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy.
I was jealous of Zion with great jealousy.
And I was jealous for her with great fury.
I was jealous of her with great fury.
Thus saith the Lord.
Let's stop there for a moment. It speaks about what the Lord wants to do and how he wants to restore Zion. But there is a point that I feel like the Lord wants us to bring out in this right now. When Ezekiel started to prophesy, there was a noise and there was a shaking. And there was a connection of bone to bone. And I've noted something in our generation. And I think it affects us in a great way. We live in a very individualistic society. And what has happened is that there is no connectedness anymore. The connectedness that we once had as a community isn't there. I remember when I was a boy, I knew all of my neighbors and folks all the way across town, but I hardly know the folks next door to me now. Is that how it is in most urban areas? We hardly know them. And here's the problem. In the same way, we have a few superficial kind of relationship when we come to Monarch, right? Let's just be honest with ourselves. A little bit superficial. Maybe some of us have a deeper bond than others and whatnot, but there is kind of, hi, how are you doing? Now, what was his name again? We don't remember anymore because there's not this connectedness that we once had. It used to be that we went from one meeting to another, and we knew all the saints. We don't do that anymore. The economy is a little bit worse off, but it's not just that. We have become more individual. But let me tell you this, that we are a body. We are a body. We cannot do without anyone. There's nobody here that is not important. Every one of you are as important as everybody else. And there is a connectedness. I believe that when it said bone connecting to bone, there is something that this is a body, not just an army. It's a body that is coming together and every joint is supplying something. So each joint supplies. What you have, I need. What I have, you need. What the person sitting next to you has, we all need. And there is no one here that is a big I and a little you. Oh, yeah, I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor and I lead a congregation and whatnot, but that does not make me any more important than anybody else in the congregation. I want you to understand that. That's what I really believe. Somebody asked me the other day, do I believe that one gift is more important than the other gift? I said in this regard. And I understand how the Lord puts members in the body as it pleases him, right? He can do whatever he wants to with them. And in this regard, you can live without an arm, can't you? You can cut off my hand, to the elbow, you can cut off my arm, you can cut off all four limbs and I can still live. So there are some members of my body that are vital that we can't live without. You understand? All right, but then there are some parts of my body for me to be functioning I have to have. I have to have arms, and even my thumb is important. And I can't say my thumb is unimportant because I would not be able to pick up this cup without it. Very, very simple things. So in the same way, what we need to understand, these bones connecting to one another, that is an important analogy that I believe the Lord wants us to make. We're not connecting, saints. We're superficial. We're making superficial connections, and I don't believe it's altogether as deep as the Lord wants. I'm saying spiritual, not just be your friend. There needs to be a spiritual connection where when I pray, when you call for prayer, I have a concern for you. Don't pass by somebody that you know without speaking to them. Take time to speak. Take time to love and get to know the folks that are here. They love you. You love them. There needs to be this connectedness that I believe the Lord wants in order for us to be as effective as we need to be. All right? Okay. Now, I believe that this is the promise that the Lord gave me. Let's go back to Ezekiel. First started at the first verse. You're probably on the second verse by now. Zechariah, I'm sorry. Zechariah, thank you.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
I was
jealous for Zion with great jealousy.
I'm jealous for Zion with great jealousy.
And I was jealous for her with great fury.
I was jealous with her with great fury.
Thus saith the Lord.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of somebody that loves an individual and they don't want anything taken their affection away. I'm jealous of her. All right, read.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
I am returned unto Zion.
I'm returned. I'll come back.
And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem.
I want to dwell in the midst of you.
And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth.
Oh, Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth.
And the mountain of the Lord of hosts.
The mountain of the Lord of hosts, yes.
The holy mountain.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
There shall yet old men and old women
dwell in the streets. Oh, we're going to have old men and old women shall be in the streets.
Of Jerusalem.
Of Jerusalem.
Every man with his staff in his hand.
His staff in his hand.
For very age.
For very age.
And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls.
Streets shall be full of boys and girls.
Plain in the streets
thereof.
They're
going to be plain in the streets thereof.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people.
If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people.
In these days.
In these days.
Should it also be marvelous in
mine
eyes.
Should it also be marvelous in mine eyes. Saith the Lord of hosts. Do you know that this is what the Lord wants to do? It's the Lord's desire. It is not. You know, we look, oh, well, our congregation, somebody, you know, I've heard this in a negative way. Oh, this is happening and that is happening and all this. And you know what? You can't deny it. What can I say? But you know what? I believe that this is the promise that God wants us to see through and see to make certain that it happens. Yeah. And the way to make certain that it happens, it starts not with you, but with me. Every one of us can say that. So it starts here. Lord, the revival that you want to see, the revival of believing in you again, the revival of understanding you again, the revival of seeing a revelation of who you are again, I need to see that. I believe that that's what the old time saints that we keep looking back nostalgically, they understood what a relationship with Christ really was. And they were not doing it because this is what the church taught. I don't believe that. I don't believe I've seen some folks die that have died in a marvelous way and they weren't doing it because I asked them, are you doing it just because this is what the saints teach? No, this is I have a relationship with the Lord. And as a result of that, they were able to hold on all the way to the end. May the Lord help us. I believe the Lord wants to give us hope. And He wants to raise us up a great army to be able to do the things that He desires for us to do as a people. And I believe sometimes our problem is that when we see the bones, when we see that they are very dry, we get discouraged. We see that my situation has been like this for how long? I don't know. How long does it take some bones to dry out in the sun? I don't know how long it was. But it takes some time, doesn't it? So it was like this for a long time, and it seemed like there was no hope. And they said that there was no hope, but the Lord said, oh, there's hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. If we can believe again, if we can come to the place that we can, when we hear what the Lord says to us, He begins to give us an understanding of what it is, what His desire is to do in Zion, our responsibility is to start trusting Him and obeying Him. Now listen, if Ezekiel had decided, well, Lord, I just don't believe you can do that, so I'm not even going to start preaching to this. That kind of seems silly, preaching to these dead bones. Who's watching me? I'm afraid that somebody see me up here talking to myself. And then after I did that, I'm talking to the wind and whatnot. But let me tell you, after the bones started moving, I believe that made a believer out of him. If there was a little skepticism, it would have made a believer out of me. But let me tell you, you do what the Lord tells you to do. You get in the place that the Lord wants you to be in. Let me tell you, you start prophesying, you start obeying, something's going to happen. Something's going to move. It's going to move the throne of heaven, and then something's going to move on earth. And when it starts moving and it starts connecting, this starts connecting and that starts connecting, and you see it begins to take form. Then you prophesy to the wind. You just keep doing what the Lord tells you to do. And before you know it, there's an exceeding great army. I believe that this can happen to every one of our congregations. I believe that. Well, Brother Darrell, we've been like this. We've only had the people for the last 3 or 4 years. Nobody's coming. I've experienced that too. Maybe in your marriage, your family, your home, whatever it is, can these bones live? I believe the Lord's answer to us is yes, they can live. Pray for me.